You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is another Liverpool roundup show because we've been shit at giving you shows this year and we're sorry about that. But we will be doing a Arsenal reaction show, a Fulham reaction show and a Bournemouth preview show. I think it's been about 10 days since we last done a show. So we'll try and get all that stuck in best detail as we can. But as usual, I am Mick Moran. I'm joined by Christian Anderson. The New Year's resolution is to say our full names. I don't know why I've just decided that. I've realised every other show says the full name apart from us. We're just Mick and Christian, but now we're full naming each other. We're full naming. So every time you've got to refer to me, you've got a full name. And every time I speak to you, it's like a full name as well. Now that's obviously a joke, but Christian, I'll stop. I'm mumbling and rambling already, and we're only what 30 seconds into a show for the first show for 10 days. Christian, how are you doing, lad?
I'm good. It's a new year. Liverpool are doing well at the moment, even though we haven't played for a while. Look forward to the game that's coming up, and yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'll do a few more shows. Like you said, we've been crap doing shows this year, but it's live. Sometimes life just comes in the way and there's loads of things to do and stuff, so let's go from here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, loads of different things have came into play. Sickness and tiredness and just being in that mood where you can't be arsed. That all comes into it, I guess, when you're but we love doing new shows, so that's why we're gonna. This is the start of 2024 today, where we're gonna start doing more and more shows. So, and like I always say, we do appreciate you listening. So, thanks very much. I'll stop mumbling again. Let's get into the show, lad. Let's get into the show. So on the last show, we talked about like Arsenal, and we're looking ahead to the game and whatever. We went on to win that game 2-0, which was, I've said it quite often this season, I celebrated that win so hard. It was unbelievable. It was like just one of them moments where I was like, we are so serious. And we I think we spoke about it in the preview show, but like, this is a, I kept saying, and you agree with me nicely, that it was a massive test of like where Liverpool are, like no play, like missing players and whatever else. And we still stood up to the task. And I think even going on from that game, especially like losing Trent in the Arsenal game, that was a massive blow, especially when he was so instrumental in the Arsenal win. And you're going into Fulham, Salahless, Trentless, Endoless, and loads of other players still missing, Robbo, Tsimikas, and you're looking at the who's going to play where, and you've got like a good idea who the 11's going to be, but then you're throwing in Conor Bradley. He then performs fucking amazingly well. So I mean, Arsenal win. Let's have a little discussion about that, because that was a massive like passing of a test for this Liverpool, new Liverpool 2.0 side.
Yeah, it's a tough place to go to play away against Arsenal, obviously, because they are doing well and they are having a good team. You know, it's their FA Cup as well. So you're thinking, you know, cup games can sometimes be a little bit different to Premier League games. But I think, you know, we went there and obviously they were really good at the start. We were struggling. And, you know, sometimes you can actually expect that, because you do, you know, playing against an offensive side that will come at you straight away, starting, you know, from zero. And I think, you know, we were lucky a few times in that game not to concede a goal quite early. And we managed to keep it, you know, for 0-0 until half time. But then we were really, really good coming into the game in the second half. And it was another Liverpool, and, you know, obviously substitutions made an impact as well. So if you just look at the first half, we weren't good. But what I like with this Liverpool side is that we seems to be able to, you know, go in half time, talk to each other, you know, have a pep talk and talk about what we're going to do differently in the second half and actually go out and execute it and actually do it. That's what we've seen that for quite, you know, plenty of games where we haven't been that good in the first half, but actually coming out in the second half and doing better things. So I was really pleased how we performed that second half, and obviously scoring goals and winning away against Arsenal and knocking them out of the cup was brilliant. So the only thing, I would have swapped it for a Premier League away win against them, to be honest, in terms of where we are in the table. But, you know, going through in the FA Cup is good. We're still in all the competitions and you should only, you know, enjoy where we are at the moment.
Yeah, just even that sentence you just mentioned there, being in all four competitions still in the middle of January. If you'd have said that to us like middle of last year, when I think it was a couple of days ago, it was the 1 year anniversary of us getting beat 3-0 by Brighton, and Klopp's gone over to the away end. He's saying sorry to the away fans. We're just in a mad, mad way. We don't know how we're going to get out of this weird like funk that we were in. And it was just like we were coming on these shows every week going, what the fuck are Liverpool doing? No midfield, no energy, no this, no that, no that. And now it's like we're still having, a few problems in terms of starting games. I think it's the starting of games that have been the problems recently. Of course, like the Arsenal game, we were, like you said, like lucky not to be at least 1-0 down in that game. And I think that then weirdly filters over into, especially then you're losing Trent for the Fulham game. We go 1-0 down and Willian scores and you're like, fucking hell, it's happening again. But you're still like, this Liverpool side, I keep passing these tests and showing a mentality and whatever, and you still expect Liverpool to come back into the games. But it's one of them, like, I'm just like, the negative like part of your brain's like, you can't keep doing that though. It's not sustainable to keep starting games poorly, or at least not putting the ball. You can play poorly and have chances, but you need to put those chances in the back of the net when the opportunities present themselves. You need to be doing that, and we don't seem to be doing that at the right times early enough in the games, which then gives the opposition more energy and more belief that they can nick something from the game, even if it's a draw. Whatever else Fulham would have been made up with a draw in this game. But yeah, we go 1-0 down, and then you're like, half time, you're 1-0 down, you're like, what were you thinking at half time? Were you like me, like, We've still got enough. I think that when you look at the bench as well, like, and of course the players that come on off the bench have a massive impact. I think that always comes into it for us, that I think people that speak about footy, I think, like, I keep referencing Mark Goldbridge. I didn't ever think I'd be looking at Mark Goldbridge as a fountain of knowledge, but he's been talking a lot of sense lately on Liverpool. Of course, if you know who he is, he's a massive like Man United fan and like YouTube or whatever else. But he talks a lot about like how good that in depth squad depth is and whatever, and I think it's something that like maybe we overlook because we're so in what Liverpool is, like, we see these players all the time, that we don't maybe appreciate how good the bench is. Like Conor Bradley comes in and performs fucking, and Klopp said like he's going to struggle to not fall asleep in the dressing room after the game because he was everywhere. But like the amount of players that we've got in there that have got injury problems and whatever else, and players are coming in and kids are coming in, and you're expecting, you're not expecting wonders of them, but you're expecting like a very high level for them. And they're coming in and the performance those levels. And I think that's a good thing that and a positive that we can take forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, we got loads of youth players that are really good. Some of them are injured now, fortunately. But you know, to see someone like Conor Bradley coming in and doing that kind of game that he did against Fulham, it's superb. We're looking at that team that started that game. Obviously, if you want to call it, the weak link from the start, because he's the one that is not, you know, been tested that much, not very used to playing in those kind of games. The other players have been, you know, playing on this professional level for many seasons and know their, you know, place in the team and the squad. So, you know, I think it was a strong starting 11. And then you want to, as much as you are excited to see Conor Bradley, you're also, you know, a little bit nervous about what can they, you know, harm him with, you know, playing down that side.
Especially the way that he... Sorry, especially like when you look at their left-hand side of Willian and Robinson, who they're both very good. Willian, I don't know how he's still scoring goals against us when he's 35. It seems like he's been doing it for forever. And Robinson, we've seen how much he's progressed over the last couple of years. So it was a massive test for him, and it was boss to see, man.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what I was going to say, because I think, that's fine. I was just going to say, you know, that you are always excited to see the young players, the, you know, the ones the Klopp actually trusts to throw them in games like this. Obviously, Trent now being, you know, injured, and so he got the opportunity probably more because of that. But also coming in and doing that kind of performance, showing the levels, and, you know, he's only 20 or something, so you've got time to, you know, plenty of time to develop. And then he also turns out, you know, in my opinion, to be man of the match. I don't know if he was officially out of the match, but, you know, a lot of people on Twitter just said, you know, he was brilliant going forward, being defensively really stable. So I think, you know, to see the team being that strong for, you know, in the other positions, but to see someone like him actually being the best player on the pitch in a game like that, that actually means something, and also the way you turn the game around and all that. So, you know, all the praise to him, and it's good to have an option where we know that, you know, we can throw in someone like him when Trent, you know, play midfield, or if he needs a rest, on like now when he's injured, because again, you know, Trent is one of the best players in the world, so it's not easy to replace him, but to be able to replace him with someone that actually understand the way you want to play football, who have got the talent, the club trusts, it's just very, very nice to see young talent, you know, thrive under Klopp in Liverpool, because we usually see that quite a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, and especially like you said, like Bradley was in there, we had Kelleher come in for Alisson. Kelleher, I think we all said in the group chat we probably could do better with Willian's goal. I think that's, but then we're always comparing him to Alisson, which isn't fair, because Alisson saves everything. Alisson's just what is just a superhero of a keeper. So I mean, it's probably unfair to compare him, but yeah, like I said, Bradley was in there, Konate, Van Dijk, Gomez, Gravenberch, McAllister, Jones, Elliot, Jota, Diaz. So like I said, 1-0 down, and then I think this, obviously, like as I mentioned, the subs make the difference. Like we bring off Gravenberch, and we bring on Nunes for him, and we bring off Elliot, and we bring on Gakpo, and that kind of changes it completely, because we then have the speed out. What, like Nunes on the left, I think we said it loads this season, like when he's been out there, like he doesn't even know what he's going to do next, like but he's got that speed and intelligence to, I think when he's in front of goal and it's his opportunity to score, I think he still rushes it. I think we can all agree he needs to improve. We say that all the time, it seems like. But I feel like when he gets in certain positions to cross the ball, he's much calmer, I feel like, in terms of playing it back across goal, or especially for the Gakpo goal, especially, that's a perfect example of it. He seems to have a lot more coolness when he gets into those like wide areas near the touchline on the edge of the pen box, where he can square it across, or he can cut back and on his right foot have a shot. But I feel like when we saw those two subs coming on, I think that's when it's like, right, we've got half an hour here to get back in this game, and it only took what 12 minutes for them to have an impact and for Jones to get the goal.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing with Nunes. You know, I think we all agree that he needs to be, you know, do better in terms of scoring goals and having all those chances. And we've said it for a long time now. And you know, I will love him forever. I always say that. But you know, I think, I think you know, sometimes we just need patience on patience. You know what I mean? Like we just need to continue to be patient with him, because he's got, you know, all the talent and, you know, great skills to become a great player with, you know, scoring loads of goals for us. But, you know, like you said, he's involved straight away. He's on the left. He's, you know, causing chaos for the defenders. He's unpredictable. So you don't know where he's going to go. Is he going to go on the inside, on the outside? Will he turn you around? Will he, you know, pass the ball and go to receive it for, you know, a little 1-2? And also, he's always creating stuff. He's always a nightmare for defenders. So as long as he continue with that, even though he might not score as many goals, I'm still very pleased, because, to be honest, there's not many players that are so involved in so many things going on offensively. And like you said, he leaves the ball for Jones, who scores with a little bit of luck, but, you know, it's still a goal, comes back into the game for us. And then obviously the nice little pass back to Gakpo for his goal is very intelligent in terms of finding that little space with the ball. It's a great pass, you know, and it's a great goal. So I think Gakpo did well as well. But, you know, Nunez, I think, you know, we just have to keep on waiting for him to, as soon as it actually, you know, just goes for him like naturally and he keeps on scoring. I think he would just keep on scoring without any problems. But I'm still very pleased that he still creates so much for us, because we've got other goal scorers in the team, and with a player like Nunez creating so much, other players will score, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think like we're so hung up on, like, I think rightly so, that like if you pay that much money for a number nine, a striker, you want them to be scoring goals. But I feel like at this point in time, if he's at least, he's starting games for Liverpool, I think we've said it before, like he's starting games, so he's obviously doing something right, but he's also causing mayhem everywhere and creating stuff for us.
Yeah, but I had someone, you know, saying, I can't remember if it was a group chat or if it was on Twitter, whatever, but, you know, someone saying, you know, we paid so much money for him and, you know, we expect him to score the goals because he's number nine and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I get that, you know, loads of money. He got the number nine shirt. There are high expectations on him because he's so talented, you know, and score goals for Uruguay, and he's got a record of scoring goals for Benfica, blah, 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 and all that. But at the same time, I said to someone, I can't remember if it was a reply, like I said, on Twitter, if it was a group chat, but I said something in the style of, you look at Man United buying Anthony for almost the same kind of money, not, you know, the same price, but not far away. And they also, you know, bought Jadon Sancho for, I guess, more money than Nunez, or somewhere like very close to it.
72, I think they paid in the end.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, very close to it. And they fucking done fuck all for, you know, for their club. You know, Anthony's probably one of the worst, you know, players that have been brought to the Premier League in terms of what he achieved.
And Sancho's gone back to Dortmund.
Exactly. So, you know, you look at that, the cost, and you compare them to Nunez, and Nunez sometimes playing out wide as well. You know, he's still got like 10 assists for us and a couple of goals, and I'm sure he will score a few more goals before this season is over. He will probably assist a few more goals as well. So his numbers will be okay this second season in Liverpool for him. And comparing to the others that I mentioned, you know, it's brilliant. And, you know, he's creating stuff all the time while the others are just standing on the sideline doing like Anthony, that little meme of him, you know. Yeah, you know, he's just spinning on the one little space doing nothing. You know, so if you want that for that kind of money, if you want what Nunez does for that kind of money, you know, I'm all in for Nunez all the time.
Exactly, definitely. And like I said, 10 assists he's now got, which I think is his boss. It is. I think it's something that he's very, like I mentioned, he's very good at, and it's something that he can improve. definitely improve in front of goal. But he can still improve as being a winger as well in terms of his creation and stuff, because no one wants to play against Darwin Nunez. It's clear to see, like, he can beat anyone from pace, and when he cuts inside, and or even if he's in those positions, like I said, where he can cut and make an assist, then he's very good. But yeah, Curtis Jones, let's talk about him a little bit, because he gets the goal. It's a deflection, but I think it's his goal because it was on target and all that. But that was his fourth goal of the season. So that's he's matched his best ever. So his best ever, obviously, is four goals, but that was in 2020-2021 season, where he played a lot of games because of the injuries we had in that season. He played loads more than maybe he would have if he wouldn't have had those injuries to certain players, where he was forced into the team a little bit more. But yeah, he's got four goals and matched that. I think that's something that he's been working on, clearly, because his overall input in the game is he's one of the first names on the team sheet. I think, like we've mentioned before, he's been up and down a little bit in his Liverpool career. I think that's safe. That's fair to say, but this season, I think the injuries and stuff, that he little niggles he's picked up, but since he came back in the team, he's like, I've saw certain people on Twitter saying, like, I think it was Evan actually, he said, like, he's like the key and the glue to that, like, Liverpool midfield and to give us balance in those areas. I think that's so true, like the way that he's playing. I think it's a massive compliment to how he just gets the tactics. He knows exactly what to do, his ball retention, his pressing, all that stuff's been amazing. And now we've always been saying about him, he's form a winger so he can get in the box and drive. And I think we've been seeing that. I think in the games recently, he doesn't just pick it up on the edge of the box anymore and pass it back or whatever. He does still do that, but he picks his moments where he goes, right, I'm going to turn and run at you and get into the box. And then once you're in the box, you can't be touched. I feel like we're seeing that more, and he's getting shots off a bit more. He's having a bit more confidence in himself to shoot more, which I think it's always been sort of that. Maybe that Everton goal he scored, the banger, it weirdly came a little bit too soon for him, because everyone then expected 30-yard worldies every two or three games from him, which is unfair to expect from a kid. But I think we're starting to see a bit more maturity from him. I think he's 23 this month, so he's still very young. But I feel like his performances we just look more like a balanced side when he's in there. And I think that's something we've said of massive players in the past, that if this player isn't in there, we look unbalanced. I think he's one that is starting to fit into that category where he's key to how we play and how we can, everything that we do, basically.
Yeah, I love how he, has developed his overall game for us. I know we talked about, I think maybe in the last show as well, that he came through very young, and had that breakthrough, which was really good, and that goal against Everton, as you mentioned. But then I think he had his injury problems, he had his like football wise problems, but he developed, and he's been on the club's sides all this time. They stuck with him because I remember there was fans saying maybe we should loan him out, maybe we should even sell him, 2-3 seasons ago, or even last couple of seasons ago, that is good enough. And clearly they understand football more than us, the people working at Liverpool Football Club and as club staff, because they've seen something that they know that is there and that they can develop, and now we can see their product, and he can still go on and become even better. And I agree with you, I think we look more balanced. I think he contribute with energy, a little bit of cockiness as well, self-confidence, being this little lad that just seems to, I wouldn't say it's the wrong word, maybe to say don't care, but I'm playing in front of this big crowd, I'm playing for my boyhood club and all that, but I'm just gonna do it quite freely and don't seem to be bothered. Maybe yes, he takes maybe into what people write on social media and stuff, but when he's on the pitch, it looks like he's actually just having this silkiness and I don't care attitude, which I like, because we need them kind of players as well. And also that he's brave to do things that maybe other players doesn't do, and he's better with driving the ball forward as well, and scoring a few goals now. So I'm just very happy to just watch him play, and I'm happy that he has developed. I hope he can keep on developing, because if he continues to do that, he will become really, really great for us, a really good player. And I also think that if he continues like this, he must be considered to be called in for England in the future, because I think having that kind of midfield player that is is something that can be worth something, playing in England's squad as well.
Yeah, I think the links to Arsenal recently, whether they're real or not, I think probably are, because the way that he's been performing.
What are they smoking at Emirates?
I looked at it. I was like, I wonder if he's deleted that tweet, and he hasn't. I had a look. I was like, I was bored. I was like, should I check if John Henry's deleted that Emirates tweet? It's still there. You can find it. So if you ever need to use it,
legend,
use it, because it's a funny one. But let's talk about Ryan Gravenberch a little bit, because I still don't know if it's Gravenberch or Gravenberch. I might say both. I still say both. I still never know exactly what it is. But I feel like he's had a bit of a. He's like the new. There's a scapegoat. There's always a scapegoat. It's usually a scapegoat for longer than 6 weeks, but now it just shifts because of what social media is. It's a mad world and whatever. It was Endo for a bit because he wasn't performing, and we quite rightly, when we come on the shows, if someone performs badly, you talk about it, of course, but when you perform well, we talk about it as well. But I think Endo got to a point where he was becoming very vital. Gravenberch's maybe at the point where he came in and done well, and he's had a bit of a wobbly period, I think maybe similar to Szoboszlai a little bit, I guess, in that regard, on a much smaller scale, of course, because Szoboszlai has been playing every game, mostly every 90 and whatever, until he got the injury. But Gravenberch's come in, and I think even a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember what game it was, we were talking about who's going to play, and I think you went for Gravenberch to start, I went for Jones, and I think Gravenberch started, and I think it might have been the City game, actually. But we're talking about Gravenberch driving the ball forward and being a ball carrier and doing all these good things. I feel like maybe him and Jones are vying for positions, I think, because they're both young as well. I think it might maybe affects them a little bit, like when they're not chosen or when they're not picked off, and especially Gravenberg, who's had a bit of a torrid time at Bayern Munich not getting picked. And maybe when he doesn't get picked, it affects him a little bit more when he then comes back into the team and he's not in the right frame. Like, rhythm's massive, and I think, like Jones, we always say, is a massive thing for Gravenberg. It's massive as well, but it's difficult to get them both in the team. We did it for Fulham, which again you can shift it around to make it happen. But again, Gravenberg, cost us 40 million quid, but he's one that we've looked at for ages, and he's younger than Curtis Jones. It's one of them, like, it is mad when you think, you can't look at that kid and think that he's not a good footy player. You can say he's been a bit dodgy in terms of, like, he's tried things, or maybe not going into tackles as full-blooded as we'd like, but then he's just came into this league. He's not used to that, like, getting fully stuck in, I guess, where you've got to put your foot in and win it. These are the type of stuff that he can learn as he gets older, and he learns, like, the Liverpool way and the Premier League way. Like, you've got to be technical and strong in the tackle. You've got to do both. But I just feel like it is funny, like, when people are just saying, like, who's this Gravenberg lad? Why is he playing shit, etc., etc.? And I don't get involved in, like, any of that anymore, like I used to. But I do still see it now and again. It does just make me chuckle. I just scroll on by and, like, live me happy little world in the little bubble and ignore all the blocking out all the haters. But it's clear to see that you can't judge players too soon, especially in a position like that in midfield, where you've got a massive job on your hands to be amazing all the time, and that comes with playing games and time learning the system and whatever, but also, like, a new lad coming in and getting used to a new country and what all those cliches, new country, new language and what all that crap, but getting used to systems and whatever. And I feel like, let's look at the stats. So he's played 24 games so far, 2 goals, 2 assists. I think he's I think it'd be crazy to say he's not been a great signing. I feel like that's, like, he's had a bit of a shaky period. But in terms of, like, come, like, when we're getting further into the season, when we're having to mix and match players to keep them fresh, he's going to be vital for those games where we need, I don't know, if someone's sitting back, you want a Ryan Gravenberg picking the ball up, running past people, making passes and having shots from the edge of the box, because that's what he's good at. And I feel like he's still got loads of this season, obviously, his Liverpool career to prove how good he is. Like, it's this whole jumping on the bandwagon early to say, oh yeah, I told you, if he goes out, if you sell him in a year or whatever, or if he goes out on loan or whatever, it's all that, like, I want to be first to say it, and I don't mind that when it's warranted, but jumping on it for jumping on its sake is just, I can't get behind. And I'll stop again, I'm rambling on again, so I'll let you talk now, lad, sorry.
no worries. I listen and I agree with, you know, what you're saying, because he's still a very young lad. Yes, he came in for, you know, not much money, but still money, you know, in terms of, I think, you know, it's still a good buy, you know, from our end, even though, you know, I read somewhere where someone said something about, well, I can see now why Bayern Munich will have, you know, happily to let him leave for around 40 million or whatever. Yeah. You'd be like, but, you know, we also seen when he came in and decided for the, you know, almost from the start that he was actually really good. And, you know, you can tell that he's a good footballer, but, you know, some players, you know, like even Szoboszlai, you know, came in and was great, and now he had a little bit of a dip, and everyone's still going like, he's fucking amazing. Yes, he is. But, you know, Gravenberch had his dip, and sometimes you just have to accept that happens, especially to players who comes into a new league, a new team and everything, where, you know, I would probably say that, you know, it's most likely that Premier League is the most physical league in the world, and it might be take a little bit more out of players to actually play in the Premier League and get used to it. Even Szoboszlai, even though he seems to be, you know, a strong lad all over, you know, it probably affects them because they come into something new they're not used to before, and they just have to adapt to it, and we have to let them adapt to it. And I think with Gravenberg, that's the same, because he hadn't played that much for Bayern Munich before. He also wasn't up to, you know, match speed and rhythm and all that kind of stuff. So I guess, you know, it all comes down to, again, we need to just be patient with players that are 20 years old coming into the team, you know, has to adapt to the new league and to how we play and, you know, the tactics that we have. And also, you know, to let them do it, because now he's only been there for half a year. So give him another half a year until the end of the season, and then let him have a proper pre-season with us, you know, and even another season where he gets to grow his game with us, because we've seen, we've done it with Curtis Jones, and you know, we can tell now, you know, okay, he's actually good enough to play for us. And we've done that with players in the past as well, that we give him them time. And he's one of them as well. Like, he was a prospect when he came through, you know, in Ajax already at the age of 16, 17. And we wanted him back then, and he was really good. And I know that, you know, the Dutch league is not as good as many other leagues in Europe, and especially not Premier League. But, you know, he made his move to Bayern Munich. He got some experience, didn't work out for him. We got him. And I'm sure that Klopp and his staff will work on him and, you know, develop him in their time, and they can see that he got the skills and everything. So I'm not worried. I just, you know, hope that he can come back to to form again, because I liked what I saw the first couple of months and stuff. But, you know, what I've seen lately hasn't been that good. But that doesn't mean I turn on him and say, you know, we should sell him or whatever. It's just very weird to even, you know, say that. I just be like, okay, he's not in form, you know. Hopefully he can come in and do a job, like you said. It will be vital for us when it comes to you know, resting some players. He can come in for 20 minutes in a game for someone else. They need a little bit of rest. We can start games where we can then make a substitution. You know, we need all this rotation if we're going to compete in all competition until the end of the season. So, you know, just give him time. And I don't really have much more to say about it. Just give him time, and we probably see, you know, the better of him in soon enough anyway.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, it's just the living in the age where, like, every game's like analysed, like, to the nth degree, and like every player, everything they do, if they do something wrong, it's clipped up. And it's just that we're living in an era where everyone has to be like, say it first. Like, you've got to just be first rather than right. And I think that's been the case for a while, for quite a long many years, to be fair. But I feel like, especially like Twitter, and like Twitter meshed with footy is just like a recipe for disaster, especially when like everyone is imperfect. There's always someone who goes, oh yeah, but what about him? He wasn't that good. It's like, are you ever happy? Let's just ask the question. Are you ever happy in your life? That's what I want to ask them. But yeah, back to the game. Gakpo gets the second in that game. And like we mentioned about Nunes earlier, like getting into those positions and creating stuff. And that's what he's about. And that's what, two assists in that game, the assists for Jones as well. So, yeah, a massive, hopefully a little bit of a boost for him as well, because he's starting games all the time. But when he comes off the bench, he doesn't sulk. He doesn't go, oh yeah, fuck's sake, I didn't start this game. He comes on and gets involved straight away and makes stuff happen. And that's what Darwin Nunes is about. But yeah, we get the win. And I think before the Fulham game, we were all like, I think the general consensus was, get a healthy lead, because Fulham are doing well. Like, it's, you only got to watch that game back to see how good they are in terms of in possession and like little triangles in certain areas, good passes of the ball, loads of workhorses in the midfield, technical ability up in the final third, is got some great players. So like a 2-1 lead, I think before it, I think I would have been like, I'd prefer a 3-1 lead if possible, please, going away. But I think in the context of the way the game went, and we were 1-0 down, we had to come back from a deficit again. I think a 2-1 is a massive victory going into the second leg on the 24th, which is next Wednesday, is it? Which brings us into the next. We might as well go into the next game then, and Bournemouth. We're going to talk about Sven stuff as well, which we'll leave to the end. So we'll talk about Bournemouth now. What are your thoughts out of this one, lad? Because Sunday we're playing Bournemouth away. Of course, Bournemouth are doing boss. They really are. Like, it's like Solanke is just on like one of those like purple patches where he scores like every game or whatever. And it's I guess I'm happy for him, because I think it's one of them. Like, we sold him for massive money. It didn't seem like it worked out. I thought he was going to be like one of them that just middle of the road Premier League player who scores now and again, but he's going through like a decent bit of form right now. And if you look at the the form table, like the last six, Liverpool are obviously top of it, which is, I say obviously like I'm a cocky bastard, but Liverpool are doing well, which is lovely to see. Like last six, so we've won four, drawn two, lost none. Second in the form table, Bournemouth, six games, won four, drawn one, lost one, 13 points. They're level with Wolves, Villa, West Ham, which is just, I just think that's a weird mix of teams in there. Like, you, if you're looking at the form table, you'd expect like Liverpool and like Man City and Arsenal up there. Second in the form table is Bournemouth, Wolves, Villa and West Ham. That's just such a weird combo of teams. But Bournemouth are in there because they've got the best goal difference. They're second in it. So it's a, I mean, going away to Bournemouth, never easy anyway. It's always a difficult place to go on, and that's like another fucking cliche for you, but it is a hard place to go and get a victory. You've got to be on it, and I think especially with the way that they're playing and players in form and whatever, and the manager's obviously a very good manager, it's going to be a tricky, but again, I'm excited just to see how Liverpool react. Another test for us. Of course, City annoyingly beat Newcastle. They were 2-1 down. De Bruyne comes on like a superhero and fucking gets a goal and assist, and they win 3-2, and you're like, fuck's sake, they're only 2 points behind us. But again, this is like, I think that's a good thing in a weird way, because it focuses our mentality. Like, right, he's back, the robot's back, the other robot's going to be back soon, Haaland. So they're going to be just like in this zone where they always are, where they just go and win like 10 games in a row and just like make it look like it's effortless. So Liverpool, hopefully it zones them in as well. So like, these games are the ones that you need to just be ticking over and winning, even if it's 1-0, even whatever happens, as long as you get over the line, which is something we've been good at lately. I feel like it's a massive one, but also one that is, I think it's, our players will thrive to play in, I think.
Yeah, and you know, it will be a test, because it's, even they are, you know, sitting 12th at the moment, they are in form, like you said, and they got, you know, Solanke scoring goals. Even, you know, he's on Newcastle's radar. You know, it's been talked about, you know, him making a move and whatever, which would be nice for us, because there's maybe a little fee for us then, you know, that we get. but, you know, it's just one of them. You know, it's nice to see someone that, you know, didn't happen for him in Liverpool, but, you know, he's got his chance to develop in Bournemouth, and now he's scoring goals. But, you know, it will be a tough test. You know, I expect us to go there and, you know, have a good, great chance of winning the game. But, you know, it's always the question of not underestimating anyone, because I always come back to it. You know, when we see Liverpool play, wherever it's at home or away, obviously it's easy to be on your toes at home because you're playing at Anfield in front of your home crowd. But, you know, if we can get going from the start and, you know, get our energy into it, you know, we are, you know, we got the chance of winning against most teams in the world, to be honest, if we get that game going. And that's all what I expect, you know, 100% from the start, and, you know, pressing them, having loads of energy, don't give them time on the ball. Because when we do that, we are so, so good. But when we actually not seem to be hungry enough, or it looks a little bit tired, we're giving teams the chance to get into us and actually, you know, create stuff, and that's when it becomes dangerous sometimes. And Bournemouth can't be underestimated, so I want us to go there and make sure that, you know, they don't get time on the ball and don't fight Solanke, obviously. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to, you know, the football coming back after the little winter break that I had, because it is quite empty and boring during weekends, even though, you know, sorry to the family, but, you know, it's always something when you can look forward to a fixture, even if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. And just, we might as well talk about the lineup then, because just based off Fulham then, so like I mentioned earlier, the Fulham lineup was Kelleher, Bradley, Konate, Van Dijk, Gomez, Gravenberch, McAllister, Jones, Elliot, Jota, Diaz. What are you thinking for this one? Because, of course, Alisson's going to come back in. The back four, I think he might... I don't know. I think, do you reckon he'll go same again with being away from home? Do you reckon he'll keep Bradley in right back and Jones, Gomez left back?
I think Bradley's deserved to start, to be honest. But, you know, it's Premier League. It's more vital in terms of, you know, their results and, you know, all that kind of stuff getting included into, you know, how you think about it. But I think, you know, the way he played, I think why not have, you know, a natural right back play in that position, because you know he came up offensively really good, created stuff against Fulham, so he can do that, you know, against Bournemouth away if they, you know, with a counter attack. And I think defensively he was good as well against Fulham, so if we help him out, you know, and have a, you know, with Van Dijk, Konate playing, you know, the, with experience and being at that level, why not? Because I think if you perform well, even if you're young, I think, you know, you deserve to show again that you're on this level, because that's also the way that you develop players and you give them self-belief and all that kind of stuff. So why not actually play him?
Yeah, I feel like he's done himself the world of good, and I feel like I agree completely. Like, he's done enough, more than enough to warrant another game. Because I think if he hadn't, we might have went, right, we'll throw Gomez back over to the right and we'll go with maybe a more experienced player. Like, oh, I say that, like, Owen Beck's got like loads of experience, but he's more experienced than Conor Bradley, if you know what I mean, in terms of playing games, being a little bit older and all that. But yeah, I think we're still missing loads of players in there, and it is a decent back four, but you're playing Gomez over on the left, who's been incredible, and then you've got Bradley in there. We're missing the likes of Trent and Tsimikas, Robertson. Hopefully those lads will start to come back end of January, which will be lovely if we get like three or four of them back in the same week. That'll just be amazing. And then midfield, then Szoboszlai might be back apparently for this one. So I would basically just go, I'd take Gravenberg out, I'd go Szoboszlai, McAllister, Jones. That would be my three. I think everyone probably would agree with that, to be honest, because I think that would be our best three, just on form and like how strong they are.
Yeah, as long as it's not too early for Szoboszlai, I'm all in for having him playing. But, you know, if he feels, you know, a little bit of a nudge that he's still not 100%, I think, you know, I'd rather just save him for going forward, because I don't want any setbacks with him, because I think he's already been really good and he had his dip like we mentioned, but I think he will be vital for us as well, you know, as a driving force in the midfield. So hopefully he's available, but you know, if there's still uncertainty, I think, you know, maybe then save him and maybe Gravenberg then play anyway, but we'll see. But I'm all with you if that's 100% that he's back.
Yeah, I think he'd done like an interview and he was talking about like being back and whatever, but he think he said something like that along the lines, like if he's not completely ready, he'd rather wait and be ready for the game after, because I guess we've been seeing that with like the likes of Konate, like not risking him too often so he's not out for 6 weeks, and then we're then relying on Kwanzaa for 6 weeks to get him back. It's better to play him like one game, two games, take him out, put him back in, just to keep people fresh and things like that. Something that it's something that we need to be doing, especially when you're fighting on all four fronts, like we said, like is incredible, but you need to be clever as well. And then the front three, in the Fulham game, was Elliot, Jota and Diaz. I think this is the hardest one to call, I think, because I don't think, yeah, Elliot wasn't the best in that game. I keep thinking back to the West Ham game where he was incredible, him and Jones were incredible in that game. I don't think he really got in the game as much as I'd like them to in this one, just because it's having that pace in those areas that we need. I think the way that we play, we need. That's why, like, I think Nunes is perfect for there. And when you've got someone else over there, like Salah, who's always there, usually he's just so vital to keep your team wide and keeping the defenders pinned back basically as much as you can. If you've got Elliot, he drops in maybe a little bit too deep. So I wonder if maybe we throw Diaz over there, we put Nunes on the left, and then up top, I don't know, between Jota and Gakpo, what do you think?
It is a tough one, and you know, I just want to mention that on Elliot as well. You know, I really like him, and you know, the work rate that he puts in. I think, you know, he's very, very important, you know, the way that we play sometimes, the way he runs, you know, and what he gives to the team in terms of energy as well. But you know, sometimes he's probably more better as a central player in midfield than out on the wide. But yeah, I think, you know, I go, the thing is with Jota, I really like him because I think he's very, you know, important to the way we play as well. But it's a tough one. But, you know, Darwin Nunez, you know, should he get on and score some goals? You know, this is, all, again, a luxury problem that we have because it's hard to decide. But, you know, with Salah not being available, I would probably like to go with, you know, Jota, Nunez, Diaz, and maybe have, you know, some of them, even maybe Darwin playing to the left, to be honest, and Jota in the middle, because he's a clever, you know, coming into great spaces, and we know Darwin causes problem on the left hand side. So maybe that front three for me.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said, there's a luxury problem, definitely, when you've got loads of different options in there. I think it's one of the places that we have got loads of options, especially with Jota coming back at the perfect time, along with McAllister, who's, yeah, came back like perfectly for when Endo was leaving, which was a saving grace. But yeah, it's going to be definitely a massive one, especially, like I said, with City winning and whatever, and Arsenal not doing too well, which I'm quite enjoying, to be honest. I am, because I always say Liverpool fans, like the online base, like fan base is different to like the normal fan base, who like the logical thinkers. I feel like that's the same of Arsenal, but they don't help themselves like AFTV, so you just think they're all like extreme takes, and like how they're just like everything that happens that goes wrong they need to kick up a fuss about it. But I feel like it is nice to see to see them like not doing as well, because I feel like Arteta's a good manager and all that, but they haven't actually won that much. If they would have won the Premier League last year, then they've got a right to like be cocky about it this season, if you know what I mean. But I feel like it's, anyway, let's not get into AFTV and all that. That's just a different ball game, isn't it? score prediction then. What are you thinking ahead of Sunday's game?
Oh, you know, it's been some time since, you know, you watched Liverpool now and you felt like playing at home against Fulham, and it turned out to be, you know, 2-1, that we have to turn that game around again against Fulham. But, you know, playing away against Bournemouth, it will be another test, you know, even though it's Bournemouth, everyone thinks, you know, it should be 3 points. But I'm saying 3-1 Liverpool. I hope that we can score a few, but, you know, maybe concede one. But yeah, so 3-1 and another 3 points, staying top of the league.
Oh yeah, that'd be absolutely fucking lovely, that one. Yeah. You know what, it's annoying when we do these shows, because we have to do a prediction, and then like the prediction we've put in has to stay, and then we have to put it in the group chat, but then sometimes I've changed my mind by the time it comes to like Thursday afternoon, getting close to the game. But I'm going to go safer a little bit and go 2-0. I always feel like Solanke's, he's been in form, but I feel like we've got the perfect centre half to deal with a Solanke, like with Van Dijk and Konate or Kwanzaa, whoever plays. So hopefully we can keep him quiet, and even if it's 1-0, whatever, but I'll go with 2-0 to the Reds to keep the red machine marching on, hopefully. So let's talk about Sven then, because we'll wrap up with that, because I know you've got some drilling going on there, and I mean like actual drilling. I don't mean like the other variety, like get that out your filthy minds. I mean like drilling with a drill.
Yeah, it's always the case around here.
But yeah, we can talk about Sven, because of course, if you haven't seen it, I imagine you've been under a rock somewhere, or you've not been watching social media, they'll tell you whatever. But Sven has unfortunately been diagnosed with cancer, and apparently he's got, what does he say, he's got like a year to live, which is just horrific news. And of course, off the back of the interview that he did with Sky News, and he was talking about like, he got asked about like what club he supports, and he said Liverpool, and that might have been a surprise to some people, but I think most of us knew that he was a Liverpool fan. And then he got asked about like he wanted to be manager one day, and it would never happen and stuff, because his like career's not there in Liverpool. I've got Jurgen Klopp, so it's like, but then it's like perfectly aligned with like the Legends game on the 23rd of March where we play Ajax, and then the whole thing off the back of that has just been absolutely boss. I've loved it. Like all of the big accounts like tweeting, like saying, let's get Sven on board, and like the retweets and like loads of people getting behind it. And at the Legends matches, so, like make loads of money for charity and stuff. And it's usually the manager's Kenny. Obviously Fowler's involved, and all the usual suspects are involved. And off the back of that, I think Robbie Fowler tweeted like the call's gone in. So basically, the discussions have happened. So I imagine, because I think Sven did another interview where he said that he was going anyway hopefully with his dad. So if he's if he gets asked to be involved, will he? And he said yeah. So I think it's set up perfectly for him to be involved. And I just feel like it's just such a wholesome thing. I think of course you see them people online where they're like, of course Liverpool fans are making it about them and like talking about saying this and saying that, and that's just boring shit. But it's like, he's mentioned he wants to be he's a Liverpool fan, and there's a perfect game coming up in the international break where he can do that. And I just feel like it's just a lovely story, isn't it? Well, obviously a lovely story in terms of that happening, not of course like Sven having cancer, which is just the worst. He says like a year, but you never know with these things. Like, people, he's clearly a fighter. These things, like, it is like he can fight these things. So hopefully that's not like a definitive year. Hopefully he can go on and live a longer life than that. But I feel like the whole like Liverpool thing, if he comes over and he's like the manager with Kenny or on his own or whatever, I just feel like it would be him like getting a big reception from the crowd. I just feel like I'm made up, like we're going to be there to see it, really.
Yeah, you know, the news when they broke that, you know, he said that he's only got like at the most a year, and you know, if he's unlucky enough that it's less than that, which is, you know, it's horrible, because no one wants to be told that, you know, how long you got left. And you know, I think he's 75, 76 or something. You know, he's got quite a long life and had an unbelievable career in football. Football's been his life, he said it as well. And obviously said, you know, that, you know, he's a Liverpool supporter, he's always been, but he's kind of, you know, kept it quiet through the times when he's been a manager, just to pay respect to the clubs and, you know, players that he's been managing, and also obviously being the England manager for 5-6 years or something, because obviously, you know, you can't say you have a favourite team when you're picking, you know, players as well. You know, it's just, I understand all that, but, you know, I've heard later on that, you know, he support Liverpool, but this time is actually when he's actually more said it in terms of, you know, properly, you know, I'm a Liverpool supporter, I've always been because of my dad, which is nice to hear, obviously. But then, you know, on that news and what, you know, everyone did on social media all together, Liverpool supporters from everywhere really just, you know, got on it and, you know, said, you know, it's a perfect situation now with the Legends game and, you know, the chance for him to actually be the manager for Liverpool if the club can actually execute it. And, you know, everyone was just going mad. And like you said, the big accounts, I think even I had like 375 retweets on the one that I did, which, wow, is amazing, you know. And I think it's been seen over 220,000 times on Twitter, which is brilliant, because it's not, I don't really care, you know, it's nice personally, but I just like that the message gets, you know, out there, and widely so, to loads of people that wants the same thing. And like you said, they got in touch with him and, you know, they said, you know, all this have been going on, and if you were to be offered to be the manager, would you accept? And he obviously said yes. So I really do hope that it happens for him, for us, for the football world. You know, it's just a, would be a great thing to do before his time comes, because it is like granting a wish, though, like, because that's what his, you know, big dream, to actually be the manager for Liverpool when he was younger. It never happened. But, you know, if this is a chance to actually make that dream come true, it, you know, it's what Liverpool do. And like you said, some people said, you know, Liverpool make it all about them and all that. It's just weird. You know, the only thing we do is actually come together in a man's, you know, really, really sad situation. A lovely man, to be honest, because I always liked him. I remember when I was a kid, when he was the Lazio manager, he won the Scudetto with them, you know, in the early 2000s, all the plays that he had. And, you know, after that, he became the England manager and, you know, he had the golden generation. I think he did quite well. You know, he should have won something. You know, everyone talking about the Euros when Rooney got, you know, out injured, that, you know, they should have been able to go on and actually win that in 2004 and all that. But I always liked him. He seems to be a very nice man, you know, and now he's got this sad news. But if we can actually grant him his last kind of wish in football terms, if you like, why not? So I hope he will be there, because obviously I will be coming over to visit you and actually be there as well. So I don't know, you know, for personal point of view, I would actually love if he was there on the touchline, you know, manager for Liverpool, to be able to, you know, give him a send-off, if you like, you know, in a nice way, and actually, you know, pay tribute to him. That would be brilliant.
Definitely, let's hope it. I mean, of course, it's on Sven if he's feeling up to it and feeling good and himself to come over, but I feel like it's bound to happen, and I hope it does, because, like I said, we'll be there to witness it. I think it'll be a lovely I think like the Legends games are always fun anyway, because you get to see like players like Gerrard's and whatever else that you haven't seen for a while, and you're like, oh, you could still play, just get him back in the squad and whatever, all the usual stuff. But if you have this other bit on top of it as well, it just takes it to another level. Like you said, just such a lovely, it'd be a lovely like moment for him and for us as well. So
yeah, I only live an hour away from where he lives. Like, I usually go up in the summertime, driving past that big lake where he lives. It's a very nice area, out in the countryside in the area of Sweden where I live. So I did a joke with my girlfriend saying, you know, I could go there and pick him up and drive him to the airport myself. but, you know, I think... If he can be there and we can be there, you know, and it would be a tribute with, you know, Walk Alone, or what that actually means in words, if you actually want to use it in the way that people do use it in tough times. You know, I went through a period where obviously my dad was sick in cancer and then passed away. And, you know, Walk Alone was played on his funeral. And it's just, an anthem that you use in the good times because of with Liverpool and friends and you sticking together, but it's also used in bad times because it helps. It really does. You know, people can say whatever they want about it and, you know, use this as a cliche or downplay it, whatever. But in my world and the way that I use it, it actually is words that got a meaning and helps me when it's been tough. So in this way, hopefully if he can be there, you know, Walk Alone is played and actually as a tribute to him and sang for him. That would be hopefully words that helps him in his very difficult time, and it would be something nice.
It would be, and it's not too long till. It feels like a long time when you say 23rd of March. It does feel like a long time away, but that'll fly by, and we'll be there, and hopefully Sven's there. It's gonna be a lovely day for him and for us. But yeah, we shall leave it there then. Like I said, at the start of the show, we will be doing loads more shows. I feel like we've done it might have been the most ever last year. I think it might have been. The stats were absolutely amazing, like the amount of listens and whatever. And it's, again, I always say, like, I appreciate it, and me and Christian really do like love seeing comments and stuff and feedback and just people saying like, when are you next doing the pods, even just something like that. I just really like, because like, oh, you've cared enough about like me with like a proper killed sore throat and I can barely speak, but you still want to listen to me ramble about footy, which is, I just think, is a lovely compliment, and I'll never get used to that, to be fair. But yeah, I'll stop rambling again. We are out of here. Nice one for listening. Nice one to Christian as always. Nice one to you lot for listening. You are absolute legends, and yeah, we'll see us all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher and you are listening to the Cop Eye podcast.
Network.